Hi everybody, you're listening to The Rope Podcast with Vox and Maya. Thanks for supporting the show.
This is a show with adult content, so if you are not of legal age where you live, then turn off now.
Rope bondage is a risky activity, and you shouldn't attempt it without first getting proper training. Listen to episode 0 if you haven't already.
Fox is a rigger and Maya is a bottom. We are long-term rope partners who live in Bangkok, Thailand. We love to share our passion for rope with the wider community.
This episode is made possible by our patrons who support us each month. If you would like to help, head to ropepodcast.com to see many options.
This year, we want to focus on bringing the Rope Podcast to a wider audience. To achieve that, we would like to ask you to follow us on Instagram and reshare this episode in your Instagram stories. We are Rope Podcast on Instagram.
Another thing that helps us is if you give us a star rating on Apple Podcasts. It's anonymous, so you won't have your name visible on the internet connected with a kinky podcast, don't worry. And now going on with the show.
Maya, today is an exciting day for the Rope Podcast.
What does that mean? Why?
It is the day where we're going to announce the winner of our Rope Story Patreon contest.
Oh, super. And are we able to share the story with our audience?
We are going to share not only the winning story, but also the runner-up, which was the one that placed second in front of our panel of what's a good adjective to qualify judges?
Distinguished
judges. Distinguished judges. And honestly, I wish we could read every one of the very nice entries we received, but realistically, we had to cut it down to two.
Yeah, and they're both very lovely.
They are for sure. And let me remind you that the winner will get a copy of my book in the limited edition signed by me in their name.
Limited indeed. All right, so that sounds very nice. What makes a good rope story?
In my opinion, Maya, it is a story that is able to both describe the elements of the rope and what was happening and a little bit of technical explanations, what type of position, what type of ties, maybe what kind of rope was being used, because that helps me visualize the situation, but also explains the human element of the rope and what is the person or are the persons involved? What kind of feelings are they having? What is their connection? What is their dynamic?
And we have that sometimes in our Christmas episodes where we have stories from our guests.
Yeah, and indeed that is what inspired this contest we just ran.
Tell us a little bit about how we judged.
It was not easy. And obviously, every one of the entries had some very interesting elements. But I think in the end, what mattered the most was the ability to communicate an enthusiasm, an excitement, and something that really made the reader feel pulled into that rope story.
There's a great sense of passion for what the person is doing, and it really comes across in the writing.
And I think, Maya, rope stories, in addition to being a good thing to put on a podcast because of the radio medium, are actually important to the development of rope.
And why do you think that?
I think one core issue that rope people are facing in society at large is a lack of empathy from people who have never practiced rope, because they don't really understand why we do it, what it's about, what might be gained from it. And they have all kinds of often twisted and unrealistic ideas that we are like, are those crazy people who just want to torture people because we're super sadistic and psychotic. And for a lot of people, that's not what rope is about. And then if we write those stories sharing our intents and our motivations to do rope, and how they help us connect to other people and to ourselves. And those stories have this eloquence I was talking about. It will help people open up their mind to what rope can be and change the image of rope bondage in society at large, I believe.
So some grand and exciting aims for our competition.
Absolutely.
And I also think that a good rope story includes a sense of wanting, a sense of desire, and creates a tension as you go through the story to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And definitely you will see that our winner story today has that suspense and tension and even maybe a little bit of worrying for the person, honestly.
Yeah. Putting characters in danger is definitely something that writers do.
Yeah. And in this case, I'd like to stress that they are true stories. They are not fiction. We're also interested in fictional rope stories, and that might be the subject of a future contest another year. And in fact, Maya, I believe you and I are going to write a rope fiction story book in not so long.
Yep, that's the plan. We already have some rope erotica and rope stories that we've written. So there's something for us around pulling that together and creating a little bit more so that we can share that with our listeners and share our passion for rope with a wider audience.
And that is definitely a project we're going to keep you posted on, dear listeners.
I'm sure we will.
I also want to take this opportunity to thank our patrons, who are the people who subscribe to us on the Patreon platform and who essentially finance this podcast.
Yeah, because a podcast, although we do donate our time for free, there's a surprising number of costs which come with creating a podcast.
That's true. And we couldn't really do it without this community of people supporting us.
No, we're very grateful. So thank you to them.
All right, Maya, let's get started. And we are going to hear about our runner-up. So the person who placed second in the competition. And that is Crocodilia with a story titled Boom Boom.
Boom Boom. So before I can tell you the story of two women, I need to mention a technique that might be my favorite. I call it boom boom. I learned it at Prague Shibari Festival, taught by Soptik. And when she and I first met at a private rope jam, I showed it to her and other people. Basically, it is a pulling motion that goes up and down. Boom, boom. To create a moment of surprise and impact. Also, with every boom, the rope gradually gets tighter and tighter, which is something that I love too. Even just thinking and writing about it now brings back those memories, and I must admit, it creates some tingling and flaming hot color bursts in my stomach. And now that you know about Boom Boom, let's begin. She and I had a date for a rope jam not too long ago. We were early, so the dojo wasn't full yet, and we took that opportunity to tie in a more quiet environment. Sitting on the mats, we started off with some technical things. She wanted to do a pentagram, and so we figured that out first and started connecting through that. Both of us can be a bit awkward at times. She is much braver than me, and I am so happy about that. But the pentagram always helps get over that awkwardness. And then we got to tie and really connect. She knew how strong Boom Boom goes through my skin and bones and heart. And after some quick wraps, she started with the first Boom Boom. My breathing immediately got louder and heavier. I got completely aware of her every movement and was sitting there in anticipation, just waiting for the next boom. And it came. Boom, boom. And I had to exhale and inhale. Boom, boom. Moaning of pleasure escaped with my every breath. My heart beat faster. Boom, boom. My head couldn't stay still and fell to one side. I expected the next boom, but this time the rope went around my neck, gently rubbing against that delicate skin, getting tighter and tighter. I was just trying to keep air flowing, but being prevented from breathing until she let go. Reset. I remember to sit up straight, wanting to look pretty for her. Nice posture, shoulders back, and sitting up. And she noticed, pressing a little kiss onto my shoulders. Shivers went down my whole body. I couldn't stay still. I had to move into that feeling of just this little peck on my shoulder. Deep breath in, deep breath out. Who am I kidding? I could not at all inhale deeply. Nothing but shallow breathing and just some whimpering sounds came out of me. Now, she continued to tie me more. Boom, booms all the way down the back. And sometimes she was cruel, preparing the next boom, but letting me wait. I was suffering, quivering in anticipation and not being able to control my shaking body. She wouldn't let me get off that easily, grabbing my tight arms and pressing the skin and muscle to have me feel that pain as well. Every single touch made my body shake and quiver more. Even those unintended little touches made my whole body flinch. I heard her chuckle behind me. That made me happy, made me smile. Suddenly, boom, boom. There it was. And all the happy hormones rushing through my body, creating a beautiful nebula in my mind's eye. Pink and yellow, clouds of beautiful, vibrant colors blurring my mind and having me in the happiest of places.
Maya, I love how in Crocodilia's story, she tells us about learning a technique in an educational context at a festival in Prague, and then applying that technique in a play setting. And we see the playfulness develop, and we go from the learning of the rope to the doing of the rope to the understanding the human benefits one can get from the rope.
And I think the story really does what we said before, which is build tension and show us both what the rope does from a technical perspective and also create that empathy with the person.
Absolutely. And for me, and I'm interested to know if you felt the same, there is a certain vulnerability coming through in this story.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
And that's something I find very touching. So well done, Crocodilia, on being our runner-up for this contest. And now, Maya, it's going to be the time to announce the winner of the contest.
All right.
So how do we do this? Do we have a drum roll? Do
I,
we
have I could hit the table a bit as a drum roll.
How okay, do it. And the winner is Anonymous. So yes, to protect the identity of our patron who won this contest, who requested to remain anonymous, we're not going to share their name. But if you're the winner, as we have your story read right now, you're going to recognize yourself pretty quickly, I assume. And I'll be in touch so we can arrange for the book to be signed in the name of your choosing and sent to your address very shortly. And before we move to the reading of this story, Maya, we have to give a little bit of a safety disclaimer.
Because this is a self-bondage story without a spotter.
Yes, it is quite dangerous to do self-bondage without a spotter, especially in a secluded location. And now, moving on to our winner's story, which is titled Outdoor Self-Bondage.
Entry for 2024 rope contest for our patrons. Outdoor self-bondage. This took place many years ago in my early 20s, but I still remember it vividly and can assure listeners that it's 100% true. Having practiced self-rope bondage for a number of years, I wanted to expand my experience with the scene in the great outdoors. At the time, I was lucky enough to live in an area surrounded by woodland. It was an ideal place for long walks with the dogs. Over time, I discovered a variety of pathways and how to steer clear of the main roads. I also discovered how solitary it could be in that I rarely encountered other people whilst out and about. At first, I tried to do something very late at night, but it was just too dark to see what I was doing properly and, if I tried to do something by torchlight, I was wary of drawing attention to myself, despite the lateness of the hour. Determined to fulfill my fantasy, I put aside any apprehensions and decided to tie myself up outside and in daylight. So one early afternoon, I went for a walk with a small rucksack of rope. I must have walked a good mile or so into one of the deeper parts of the woods, all the time looking for an area that I thought might be suitable. I heard the odd rumble of farm machinery in the distance, but didn't encounter a soul during the hike. Eventually, for some reason, a particular spot in front of a particular tree drew my attention. It was actually quite an open area of the woods. Perhaps there was now an element of exhibitionism coming to the fore in terms of my choosing it. Trees stretched into the distance on three sides, but one side looked onto a field of grassland. In theory, I could be seen by someone entering that field, but only if I was standing up. Almost trembling with anticipation and fear, I emptied the contents of my rucksack onto the dry ground. Amongst my modest collection of cotton rope and cloth strips was an all-important Stanley knife for emergencies. I was adamant I was going to go all out with this and strip off, depositing my clothes into the now empty rucksack and positioning the bag itself around the other side of the tree. Standing stark naked in the middle of the woods, I grabbed some rope and started with a crotch and waist rope tie. Taking another look around, I sat on the ground and grabbed more rope to tie my legs. I tied and cinched my ankles, adding my usual double-up length of rope to the back of the cinch for a slipknot. More rope was added above the knees and top of the thighs, just as I've done numerous times indoors. Similarly, I already had a set of wrist coils close to hand. I looked around furtively again before getting into a kneeling position. Grabbing my strips of cloth, taken from an old pillowcase, I cleave-gagged myself, packed in a wedge and tied another cloth tightly over the top. Almost there. I took a couple more lengths of rope and tied my upper arms as best as I could. For good measure, I ran a couple of the trailing ends down to the waist rope and tied them off. This pretty much locked the arm ropes in position so I couldn't wriggle them up over my shoulders. I was already in a tremendously vulnerable situation and couldn't help taking one final look around. I couldn't stop now I got this far. I leaned back to get my bum as close to my ankles as possible, ran my slipknot rope through the waist rope at the back, and pulled it down as far as I could before creating a slipknot. With the wrist coils passed through the slipknot loops, I forced my wrist into the gaps either side and began tightening the cinch by raising my bum above my ankles. Confident it would all work, I pitched forward and slid relatively gently to the ground. Stretching out my ankles, that faithful slipknot tightened further, and all of a sudden, there I was, naked, hog-tied, and gagged in the middle of the woods. It wasn't the most stringent of hog-ties, but all the time I maintained tension in the rope to my ankle cinch, my wrists were inescapably jammed into the small of my back. I stretched and thrashed around, even testing the effectiveness of the gag a couple of times. I was now the victim of some perverted kidnapper who'd taken great delight in leaving me bound and gagged and naked in the middle of nowhere. Would they ever return? Would I be rescued? Even more bizarre fantasies added to my overall excitement. What if I were discovered by a woman out walking her dog? She'd quickly realize my bondage was self-inflicted and decide to have some fun with me. Knots would be added to make it impossible to free myself. She'd grab my knife and bag of clothes ready to depart, but before doing so, she'd tighten the knots on my gag, whispering in my ear that she'd be back for me later. The feel of the rope on my body, the tension and fullness of the cloth in my mouth, the rough texture of the ground beneath me and the brush of air across my exposed body made the whole experience one of the most exhilarating of my life. I savored every sweet moment of it and lost all passage of time as I struggled hard, never wanting it to end. It was one hell of a way to spend an afternoon.
Maya, did you know that I grew up in the countryside, in a farm that had a big forest next to it?
So how does this relate for you?
For me, it really strikes a chord because I have strong memories when I was younger of going out on my own into the forest. And to use a term that's maybe a bit cringy, communing with nature, but at least being alone in a forest and feeling the natural elements on my body and so on. And I didn't get naked and tie myself into a hog tie as our author does in this one, but I definitely felt those moments alone in the forest were very special. What about you? What kind of feelings do you get when reading this story of outdoor self-bondage?
I think there's a real sense of anticipation in the story as it builds up. You can start to see what the person's about to do, and there's some tension and anxiety because you don't know if they're going to be discovered.
No, absolutely. A lot of that sense of danger, which I think is often something that is at the origin of our arousal and excitement, right?
Yeah, and the fantasies that he layers on to the self-bondage, I think I definitely relate to those.
Yeah, so that's actually one thing I loved about this story, is it almost happens on two planes simultaneously, what is physically happening in the real world, but also their train of thought, as they are thinking about the possibilities and they have this whole scenario playing in their head and so on. That I find really interesting.
It's very good. So thank you so much, Anonymous.
Yes, indeed. And once again, safety caution applies, but we're also aware that we often get excited in BDSM by playing with fire, in a metaphorical sense, or in my case, in a literal sense, because I set my hair on fire last weekend at the play party.
You did set your hair on fire, yeah.
So if you could see me right now, dear listeners, you would see I'm missing quite a bit of hair on the right side of my head from too close to a candle. So anyway, just saying, we are definitely not perfect either when it comes to safety, but be sure to do things mindfully and being aware of your risk profile. Now, Maya, as this episode was all about our patrons and their contributions to supporting this show and making it possible, how can someone become our patron if they so desire?
So they can go to patreon.com/ropepodcast, and there are instructions there. And you really don't need to give a lot. A cup of coffee a month would be amazing. And it really helps us to make sure that we can maintain this podcast, which amazingly is on episode 170.
Yeah, that's been quite the journey, hasn't it?
Especially as we do it every 2 weeks. We've been going a long time.
Hmm. And I'm really trying for a few months now to be more active on Patreon and give more content to our supporters. And I'm trying to post at least every 2 weeks, a bit more often than that, and give them little slices of life, little behind the scene shots when we do something a bit special. It was nice for us today to celebrate this art of writing rope stories. And I would encourage everyone, all of our dear listeners, to do some more rope story writing if they feel so inclined. Share it on their favorite platforms to the degree they feel comfortable doing that, because I think more people need to be touched by these rope stories. And if you come back to the comment section for this episode, we'll be very happy to give you a bit of a signal boost to your rope stories so more people get a chance to read them.
Yeah, so link to them in the comments and we will read them and give them a like or two.
Thanks for listening.
And have fun tying.